Good morning to each one of you. Thank you for coming out this morning. Welcome to all of you visitors that are here. Feel free to worship with us this morning. It would be interesting to me if I would go around to hear from all of you how your week was. I'm sure there's, if I'm correct, I think we're probably all made of the same stuff. And so there's weeks where we have good weeks, and then there's weeks where we have average weeks, and then there's maybe weeks where we have really low weeks. Can anybody identify with that? Am I making any sense? Any of you go through any of that at times? And so this week, I had to think a lot of different things happened, but I had to think, you know what? Looking back, everything worked out, and God is so good. And I'm truly thankful for that this morning. Before we go into the message, I wanted to give you all an update on Mose Troyer. So we were up there last night. My wife and I were up to see Mose and Amanda, and Amanda was there and also Laverne and Trina. And so just to give you a little bit of an update, I don't know how many of you have been up there, but I would highly encourage you, if you at all have time, take the time and go and visit Mose and Amanda. And I would say before you go, make sure you check with Amanda, make sure someone is there, and then she can give you the room number and all of those details. So last night when we got there, Laverne, he said he feels like Moses made quite a bit of improvement the last couple days. He said that when yesterday noon when they got there, he said, where Moses' room is at, he can see sort of the front desk. And so he can see when people walk in there. And he said when Moses saw them coming, he raised his arm and he waved them over. So he said that was definitely a good sign. He has a trach in his throat, and so if I understand it correctly, there is a speaker on his trach, so when he talks, you had to strain a little bit to for sure understand what he was saying, but I would say he's definitely making progress from where he was at. And Lord willing, on Monday they are planning to transfer him to Newark. And for a couple reasons, simply that the place at Newark will give the same kind of care that he has right now. However, that will be more of a long-term place for him is what they're planning. And also, it's a lot closer for the family. So all of those things combined. So I would say let's continue to pray for Mose and Amanda this week that Mose wouldn't have any setbacks so that they are able to transfer him and that God would continue to heal his life. He still has a humorous side to him. While we were there, we were talking about food, and Amanda and Laverne were saying that the cafeteria there is really good, and Mose overheard us talking there, and they were talking about the salad bar there, and Mose said, so the way I understand, he hasn't eaten for three weeks, so obviously he has a feeding tube, but he said something to the extent of, if he could get to the salad bar, he would dive in head first. So he still has a good sense of humor with him. So yeah, let's continue to pray for Mose and Amanda. And I will also add this before I forget, Lonnie, if you don't mind, at the end of the service, thank you for the songs this morning. Let's sing number 489 at the end of the service. I really enjoyed that song this morning. And I thought maybe we can bend the rules a little bit. I really enjoy the chorus, and maybe we could sing the chorus for the first and the last verse. So, and I can also say it's been a blessing to be here this morning. Thank you, Roger, for sharing in the Sunday school. I was truly blessed with that, with the whole thought of families. And some of my message this morning will be concerning that as well. And before we get into the message, there's something else that I wanted to share with you as a church. So as I go throughout life, I enjoy when people share, how do I want to call it, maybe little nuggets of truth or nuggets of encouragement. I think we all need that from time to time. At least I know I do. And so, it's been probably a year or two ago, Arlen from New Horizons, he's a godly man, I look up to him, and he told us that, if I'm correct, someone had told him this, that, and maybe you guys know, maybe all of you know this already, we're just behind the times, that could easily be too. But he said, whenever the clock hits 3:33, look at what Jeremiah 33, verse 3 says. And there's some things that people say as you go throughout life that stick with you, and that has stuck with us, my wife and I, as a couple. And so When I go throughout my day, I like to look for different ways that I can see God, that I can look back and say, you know what, God was there. And when those moments happen, I don't take it as a coincidence. I take it as, you know what, that was God. And so the other morning I woke up and it was 3:33. And so where does my thought go to? I think we all know what Jeremiah 33 verse 3 says. It goes like this: call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. So if you forget everything else that was said this morning, take that home with you. Just a little nugget of truth or a nugget of encouragement. Okay, if you would put a title on the message this morning, I just simply named it Living a Godly Life. Or I guess maybe the question should be, how do we live a godly life in the world that we live in? Do any of those thoughts ever go through your mind? How are we as God's people? How are we going to, what's the word I want? How are we going to be victorious with everything? And I don't mean to be negative, but how are we going to remain victorious with everything that the enemy is trying to throw our way, to throw into our families, to try and... I always come back to Irvin that does the Conquering series. He says, the devil doesn't care how he gets you. The devil doesn't play fair. And I have to think of that a lot. How are we as God's people, how are we going to live a godly life? And I guess that was just impressed upon my heart. And I guess I just have a huge concern for us as God's people that it feels like there's so many things that the enemy is trying to, the world is trying to bring down the pipe, so to speak, and what are we as God's people going to do with it, if that question makes sense? How are we going to handle some of the things that that the enemy is trying to push our way? And I had to think, are we ever going to get to a time where we have to stand up and say, you know what, we're not going to accept that. Even though we may look different, we may look strange, I could see that day possibly coming, that we're simply going to have to stand up and say, you know what, we're not going to accept that. And I had to think a lot of us as about us fathers, and along with what Roger shared this morning, I had to think the families. Our families largely depend on us. And I know for our family at home, our children are like a sponge. They soak up. Whenever I get home, and I wouldn't want to have it any other way. They want my attention. They want me to play with them, and they want me to do this and that. And I'm just amazed. The more I encourage them, the more I get behind them, the more I push them. I want my children to do far more exceeding than I have ever been able to do. And trust me, I haven't been able to do that much, so it's not going to take much to pass me. But that's my desire, is for my children. And I've been thinking a lot about that, the last while, our families, and how are we going to remain faithful. And you may chase me out after this, but something that, and I'm just going to make it personal in our own family at home, something that we're trying to decide is, how are we going to deal with it? And because I mention it, it's totally up to you as a family how you want to handle it. And you may think, you know what, you're silly to bring that up, be that as it may. Is the video games. What do we do with that thing? And so I struggle at times. We send our children to a Christian school, and we pay to send our children to a Christian school, and at the end of the day, they come home and they're begging to play video games. Well, Dad, everybody else at school has it. What should we do? And I'm just asking that simple question. Do we simply just give in and say, you know what, it's okay? Or do we have to take a stand and say, you know what, I guess we're just going to be different. We're not going to do that. And another thing, that question that keeps coming back to my mind is, I think it's so important that we start building conviction in our children's lives. And if we think of how do we get convictions in our lives? Simply, I just jotted a few things down, is by reading God's word, by spending prayer, by reading God's word, reading the scripture. And the more we read God's word, the more God will speak to us and show us areas, at least he does in my life, show us areas where we have strayed, where we need to improve and where we can do differently. The more we read God's word through prayer, through the brotherhood, through church, is where we gain our convictions from. And I had to think, am I passing that on to my children? If we want the next generation to succeed, us as fathers are going to have to step up to the plate and, in a sense, make it happen. Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 1. And we're going to read the book of Psalms 1. It's just a short book here. And I see already the time is flying by, so I have to decide here what I want to cut out. Psalms 1, verse 1 says, and when I had to think of all of this, of raising children, how do we live a godly life in the day and age that we're living in, my mind went to Psalm 1. It says like this, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." And I think this book here is fairly self-explanatory. And before I go any further, I very much agreed with the phrase that, Roger, that you read this morning was in the Sunday school lesson that Adam Clark had put in there. If you forget everything else, remember this. If we want to have a blessing on our families, if we want to have a blessing on our own lives, things have to be done God's way. And really, at the end of the day, that's the only way I would want to do it. Is it always easy? No. Will we face hard times? Yes. But at the end of the day, you can sit at the end of the day, you can in the evening, you can sit in your recliner and feel at peace about things simply because you know when you know that you're in God's will. And so in order for us to receive God's blessing on our lives, we're going to have to do things God's way. Okay, here in Psalm 1, just a couple things that I jotted down here. I wrote down, man, who do we associate with? It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." Basically, I find it interesting. He says that walketh not, or it says, or standeth, or sitteth. So that pretty much covers our lives all of the time. I think between those three things, we're either standing, sitting. And so who do we associate with? Who do we fill our lives with? Who do we hang around with? Like the saying goes, tell me who your friends are, and I can tell you what type of person you're going to be. And I just love verse 2. It says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Friends, you can't go wrong by spending time in the Word of God. If we want to be victorious, if we want to remain faithful, we're going to have to spend time in God's Word. If we are true and sincere, and we take time and we meditate in God's Word, God will in turn speak to us. And it says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord." And it says, "In his law doth he meditate day and night." And I think that can be a blessing as we go throughout the day. Even though we're at work, we can still be meditating. We can still be thinking of maybe a verse that was shared on Sunday, or maybe a verse that you read in the morning. And that can be a blessing. And I had to think, we can even take, I know there's a lot of different apps, different Bible verses that we can get, or even carry a small Bible along in your pocket. But his delight, I had to think, where is my delight? What do I enjoy doing? If I tell you what I enjoy doing, you can soon tell me where my heart is and the things that I'm going to be seeking after. Another thing that I had to think with raising families, teaching our children is something that, and I'm just going to be very practical, something that we're working on in our home is a live family altar. And trust me, if you want a live family altar, you're going to have to be intentional about it. Does anybody else find that? Because if you're not, the older your children get, if you're not intentional about it, say, you know what, we're going to make a time every evening after supper, we're going to spend time reading God's Word. If not, the evening tends to creep by, and before you know it, it's time to go to bed and you haven't read God's Word. And like I said, our children are sponges. They soak up what we say. It's so important that we spend time reading Bible stories, like Roger said, teaching our children the things of God. And then verse 3 says, and it says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I had to think, does that describe me? Am I like that tree? That is, my roots are down. I know where I am with Christ. And when the winds come, how far down do my roots go? Do I get blown away with, how should I say it, when storms come? Or do my roots go down deep enough? I know where I stand with Christ, that I'm solid, I'm secure in Christ. Does my life show consistency, or am I continually changing, switching to the new fad? I think you get what I'm saying. So along with that, I had to think, what would be a few character traits, or a few traits that go along with a godly person? And so one thing that came to my mind was a godly person is compassionate. And I think I wanted to read the account in Luke chapter 10. You know what? We will just turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. It's a very familiar account there of the good Samaritan. I think maybe we'll read it and I don't think we have to make a lot of comments on it. And like I said, it's a very familiar portion of Scripture, but I think it brings out a good point. We're going to start at verse 30. It says, and Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. So I had to think, a godly person will also be a compassionate person. And I know sometimes I get carried away with my day. My mind is so focused on what I need to get done and go down through the checklist, everything that I want to have checked out at the end of the day, that at times I tend to forget, you know what? What am I actually here for? What is my purpose in life? Am I showing compassion? Do I reach out to the people that God puts into my life? And I think verse 37 sums it up very well. It says, so if you go back to verse 25, the lawyer here that brought up the question to Jesus, and I don't know, in a sense, maybe he was trying to back Jesus into a corner. And I love Jesus' response in verse 37. Then Jesus said unto him, go and do thou likewise. So I guess I will leave that with us. When we have an opportunity to help, when we have an opportunity to make a difference, Jesus said, go and do thou likewise. Let's do it. If we have an opportunity to show compassion, let's take time and help the brother or sister that is in need. Another trait of a godly person is a godly person will be honest. And there are a couple things, or should I say something happened this last week that brought my mind to this. And I jotted down, if we're gonna call ourselves godly people, then I think this one needs to be pretty high on the list, somewhere right in the top five, is we need to be honest people. There is nothing more difficult when you're trying to work with someone or there's a situation going on and the person isn't honest. I think we would all agree we're not going to get very far with that person. And my mind went back to when we were serving in the country of Belize, and it's still the same today. The children at school, you'll ask them a question, they will lie straight to your face. And that makes it really hard if they're dishonest. You don't know if they're saying the truth or not. And so that's why I jotted down, it needs to be pretty high on our list as godly people. Romans 13, verses 13 and 14, go like this. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. It says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. So we see here that it says, walk honestly in the day that we're in. And if we bring it even a little bit closer to home, here's where the real test comes in when it starts affecting your finances. That's where it really comes into play. Am I willing to take a loss simply to have peace with a brother that I was working for? And I think, I'm sure you would probably say you all have come into situations like that. And I feel it's very important that we prepare our minds, prepare ourselves when this comes up. How am I going to handle it? Am I willing to take a loss, or is money more important to me than being honest and being a witness to the person that I'm interacting with? What if it's mostly true but just has a little bit of a deceitful twist in it? That's when it makes it really hard. And in our day and age today, I would say you would probably all agree, there's a lot of things coming down, so to speak, the pipe, that they're not maybe totally wrong, but it just has a little bit of a twist in it. And that's what makes it hard if there's just a little bit of wrong in it. And I had to think, imagine trying to make a cake and the recipe calls, and I have no idea how much sugar goes into a cake, but the recipe calls for 2 cups of sugar, and we put a cup of sugar in and a cup of salt. At the end, we're going to find out that we made a mistake, but there's not much difference. You know what I mean? I just twisted the recipe just a little bit, but at the end, I'm sure you will taste the effects of it. And I also had to think, you know what, it's sad to say, but I fear that is something that's in our, right here in our community, whether we like to admit it or not. I think there's a lot of people who are out there, and it's more important to them to make the next dollar versus being honest and being a witness to the person that they're in contact with. When I stand before God, everything will be done honestly. Nothing's going to be twisted. Nothing's going to be done behind the scenes. Another one I jotted down is contentment. And this one is, and I forgot to mention beforehand that this message this morning is for me. I need it in my life. And this is probably an area where I struggle in at times is contentment. Am I satisfied with what I have, or do I always need to have the next best thing that comes around? Turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And the Bible actually gives us a lot of good admonition, a lot of good instruction about riches, contentment. And often when we think of contentment, riches come into the picture as well. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, starting reading at verse 6 through verse 12, it says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Verse 10 says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. This is very self-explanatory as well. It says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. And when we think of contentment, often our mind goes to getting the next thing that our neighbor has, trying to keep up with our neighbor. But I find it interesting that the more you have, and I think John Byler had talked about this here a couple of weeks ago, the more things you have, the more it's interesting you think that these things really are an advantage to you. But guess what? At the end of the day, whether you like to admit it or not, those things probably control us more than we realize. The more we have, the more it takes our time, the more we have to take care of the things we have, versus living a simpler life and being content with what we have and with what God has given us. Basically, this verse tells us, I had to think, if you look at verse 8, it says, and having food and raiment, let us be there with content. It's very basic. I think we can all understand that. And I had to think, if we would actually live by those verses, how different our lives would be. Verse 9 and 10, it doesn't really paint a good picture for the people who are trying to be rich and always trying to get the next dollar. It says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Then it says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. It says, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And let me back up and say, I realize when we're talking about riches, we all need it. We all need money to live, and I realize everything is probably as expensive as it's ever been in the day and age that we live in. So we need jobs to provide, but at times I struggle with where is that balance of providing and making so that you can actually save money. And when, I guess, to sum it all up, when is enough enough? That the riches don't get a hold of me, if you understand what I'm saying. I think that's the important part, that we know where riches are going to take us if we're always seeking for more and more and more. And the interesting thing is, at the end of the day, riches don't satisfy us. Just like the one man was asked the question, how much more do you need so you'd be happy? And he said, just a little bit more. And I like verse 11 and 12. It gives great direction for the man of God. It says, flee these things. It says, run away from them. If you're in these things, get away from it. It says, but then it gives us great advice. It tells us what to follow after. It says, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. And it says, fight the good fight of faith. And I believe there's times in our Christian lives where we simply have to fight. We have to fight and say, you know what? We're going to stand for what's right. We're not going to give in and cave into everything that the world is trying to get us to give into. And so you may ask the question, well, is there hope for those of us who are as believers, for those of us who are trying to live godly lives, is there hope for us? Absolutely, there is hope for us. If you look, and I don't necessarily recommend you doing this, but if you get a new book, you've never read it before, and if you want to find out how everything turns out, go to the back and read the last couple chapters. You'll find out how the book turns out. And I had to think, if we take this book here and we go to the end, we find out, if we remain faithful, who is going to be who will be the winners at the end? I'm going to read Revelation chapter 21, the first 8 verses. And along with the thought of, is it possible for us to live godly lives? Yes, it is. And I'm sure you would probably all agree with me. There's, for us as fathers and mothers, there's times in our lives where at the end of a day or at the end of the week, we get tired. Life has been stressful and we're tired and we're like, is it really worth it? Absolutely, yes it is. Turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 21 and we're going to read the first 8 verses. It says, this here is only for the believer, only for those of us who will remain faithful to God. It says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Verse 4, it says, And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. Verse 7 here is the key verse. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Hallelujah. Isn't that a great promise for the people of God, for those of us who remain faithful? And that's what I want to leave with you all this morning. Let's be, it's not a matter, the quest, we know that throughout our lives, the day and age that we're living in end times, so the devil will come and try to distract us and take our minds off of what's right. And we have to be thinking every morning when we wake up, how can I be victorious today? The enemy tries to throw things my way. What am I going to take with me for the day so that I can be victorious? And that is so important that we will fail, we will struggle, but that we get up and that we're victorious and that we can experience heaven at the end. And what a promise, what a blessing it is for God's people, for those of us who remain faithful. And I also had to think of, if you look at the life of Daniel, what Daniel went through. Did he stray? No, he didn't. He kept right on praying. Daniel kept doing exactly the same thing, even though he knew his life was on the line. He was concerned about following God and living a godly life. Daniel wasn't concerned about the things of the world. And so I guess that is my encouragement for each one of us this morning is, and I trust the message was an encouragement to me, is let's be victorious in our Christian lives. Will we struggle? Yes, we will. But when we do, call a brother, sister, whoever it may be in the church, and tell them what you're going through. Have people pray for you. We want to be victorious. And it is very possible for us to live victorious lives in the day and age that we're living. But we have, like I said, we have to follow God's way and do things God's way so that God's blessing can rest on our lives. Okay, thank you. We'll turn the time back over to Nate.